Now, I've been getting requests from people wanting to be my friend on Facebook. And I haven't got a lot of friends, to be perfectly honest. And I'm not talking just about Facebook friends. So you'd think I'm not the sort of person who could pick and choose. Anyone sticks their hand up, I probably should be embracing them and embracing the opportunity to be their friend on Facebook. Now, as I considered these requests, it dawned on me how little I know about social networking, and in particular the protocols and etiquette. Yes, it's time for Social Networking 101, Social Networking for Dummies. And Internet IT and New Media Consultant Stilgarian joins me to try and fill in a few of the blanks. Stilgarian, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Paul. Sounds like you got a bit of a problem there, though.
Well, I got onto Facebook legitimately as a research tool. Now, I know a lot of people say that, and they buy Playboy magazine for the in-depth interviews, all that sort of stuff. But really, a lot of our stations now are on Facebook, and you can't monitor what they're doing unless you're a member of Facebook. So I get on not to share what I'm doing, but to get an insight into what other people are doing. And so people, you know, that I went to school with and all the rest of it, my name pops up, you know, you should be a friend of this person. So they click on you, and you get sent an email saying this person wants to be your friend. Mm-hmm. What happens then? How do I handle that? What do I do?
Well, this is the great question, isn't it? Because in this context, the meaning of the word friend is very different. I mean, it doesn't mean necessarily the 8 or 10 people who you'd trust your life with, your dearest friends. It doesn't mean the 100 or so people that you kind of keep in your circle of acquaintances that you deal with over the course of, you know, a few months or a year. It suddenly means everyone you've ever met, ever been to school with, ever worked with,
ever came from the same town as you,
and all the people that you really don't actually want to be in touch with again, or you would have been.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting how the data that you make available is used by the server, if you like. We'll keep it an inanimate object at this stage. And it says, okay, Paul's from Cobar, so everyone else who says they're from Cobar, we'll flick them an email saying Paul's there and maybe you should be his friend. And so they come up on the little right-hand panel of my computer screen when I'm on Facebook. Are there any rules at all about that? I mean, if I was to say, no, I don't want this person to be my friend, is that, how bad is that as a slight on their character?
Look, to be honest, all of the social rules are still being worked out. It's absolutely new. I mean, we're talking about a way of humans interacting that's only existed for a few years. And suddenly it's like, what do you do if you don't actually really want to catch up with Jim from the job I had when I was 19, who I never got on with, really, and I never told him? So you can just ignore it. You can just ignore it. And this is really hard for us to do because we're all used to, if someone comes up to us and say hi, we'll smile and shake their hands and all that. But it's no big deal because chances are they've just trawled through every name in their email address book or every friend of a friend that they've seen on Facebook. And so it's really no big deal. They've pressed a lot of buttons. You don't want to get in touch. After a few days, chances are they'll forget about it, unless they're psychotic, in which case, you know, in which case they might say, oh, why haven't you responded to my friend request? And then maybe you need to say, oh, yeah, I've been busy and I don't really use Facebook very much. And yeah, I hope everything's going well with you. I'll be in touch.
Yeah. Now, the other interesting part of this, and we'll get on to Twitter, which is the new sensation. I've got a girl sacked recently, Twitter. But this business of mixing business and pleasure, you know, someone for the reasons you've just indicated from my work or someone I used to work with knows who I am, asked to become my friend. Now, I have my people at work who I deal with on a professional basis. Do I necessarily want them to be on my Facebook page with all of my ramblings and inappropriate things that I'm going to say and publish over a period of time?
And you're right, because everyone does something inappropriate once in a while, even if it's only at, you know, Uncle Len's wedding and I had a few too many shandies, and you know, I'd rather not everyone know about that. There's two answers to that. One answer is that some people have two separate profiles online, and they'll use something like Facebook with its privacy settings locked right down. You know, no, don't show any of my information unless I've said they're a friend. And that's where I'll do family and friends and where I'm taking the kids for the barbecue on the weekend. Stuff that, you know, you may or may not want the whole world to know. On the other side, you might then have a professional profile, and particularly here, you're a man who, you know, your name is known about the place, and you might just want to keep that straight. Or you might want to use a different social network for that, like LinkedIn, which is more professionally oriented. Some people do that. They create different profiles. The other choice, and I must admit I've taken this approach, is I've decided I think the time has come where we don't make that distinction anymore. Maybe we just treat people as people. And I don't know whether the world is ready for that, because he said people are being sacked. There was one guy who was sacked in the United States because he said, oh, look, you know, I can't come into work. I'm a bit crook on Monday morning. Well, of course, there on his Facebook page was him, you know, more than a little under the weather explaining where he'd been. You know, and he was caught trying to take a sickie and they sacked him.
Yeah, look, there's that ad on telly, you know, where they, for the beer company, where they trot out all of the people in various groups and, you know, the bloke, they hold up the banner of the blokes who threw a sickie to be here, and you can see them walking along with their faces covered. You can't cover your face in Facebook. And in fact, there was a case of a girl that sent a message suggesting that her boss was a goose or whatever and lousy. She couldn't stand the prospect of going to work again tomorrow, wasn't looking forward to it.
And interestingly, she was also saying that he was trying to hit on her. She accused him of sexual harassment on Facebook.
Yep. And of course, he was one of her friends, and he happened to read all of this stuff, and he sent a message saying, don't bother coming in, you know, you may be required.
And the funniest thing was, he actually said, and by the way, if you've worked here for 2 years and haven't figured out I'm gay, then don't flatter yourself, girl.
Yeah, okay, that's funny. So the things we shouldn't say, and of course, one of the problems that we're having with young people is, and it's not just about old fogies like me. I mean, you're a lot younger than me, and you're able to embrace the technology a lot easier.
Oh, I'm only yay short of 50, mate. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about it's not about age. It's about how much people are choosing to connect to the new way of doing things. And sure, kids who grow up with this, it's hardwired into them now. They think nothing of it. Mm. But yeah, if particularly for people who've grown up outside the city, and I grew up on a farm south of Adelaide, and there's naturally a bit of reserve. You don't tell strangers your whole business.
Mm. This is ABC New South Wales Statewide. We're talking social networking and some of the protocols and etiquette with Still Gerrion, who's an IT consultant and a new media commentator. So this issue of appropriateness is something that the younger ones haven't grasped as well, because we've got this problem with texting on mobile phones and posting inappropriate images on Facebook. So I guess you're right, and again, it's reflecting on that comment you made about the rules aren't set and established yet.
And we're not used to them yet. We don't understand that even on something like Facebook, and you say, oh, yes, I will lock it all this down so only people in my network can see this stuff. Well, if when you first created your Facebook account weeks ago, you said, oh, my network is Australia, you've limited yourself to about 3-4 million people. So you really haven't limited it at all. And I must admit, Facebook settings, when you look in under the privacy button, it's so complicated, you wonder why you started. It's really hard. So the kind of advice I give to people at first is, don't say anything online that you wouldn't be happy to say in front of your boss, in front of your mother, in front of your husband or wife, in front of your kids, you know, whoever, because really, once it's online, there's a lovely phrase, you know, once you've peed in the pool, you can't take it out again.
Yes. Oh, that's true. And it, despite it's deposted and all of those other things, it stays out there. It remains. One of our journos got caught with just a flippant remark the other day on Remembrance Day. Oh, great, a minute, something to the effect of, oh, great, a minute silence, a third of my news bulletin's written. You know, which, it, you know, is inappropriate at every level.
It is.
But nevertheless, it was just a light-hearted comment made on Twitter, as it turns out, as I understand it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, because you know, newsrooms have always had a robust sense of humour, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and lots of workplaces are. And in context, everyone knows the context. But, of course, outside that, you know, we're now in the situation. I find it interesting because with kids coming through now, what's going to happen when, say, 20 years from now, someone who's 15 now, 35 years later, and they're trying to get elected as their local member, and sure enough, you know, someone's going to dig out the dirt. And the beautiful thing is you only need one photograph or one inappropriate joke and you can destroy someone's political career.
Yeah, I think, and again, it comes back to haunt us, the two major increases in technology are the capacity to store information and the capacity to retrieve it. That's where all the advances are being made. We can store more stuff and we can get it back quickly from all sorts of weird places.
And we're not far away. I mean, for all the talk, and I know, you know, a lot of people outside metropolitan areas will say, yes, well, we'd like to actually have the internet, thank you, or at least have it faster than a goat track. But, you know, there will come a point, not too far in the future, where everything we've ever said, everything we've emailed, every video, you know, will be kept forever. I mean, I've just thrown my laptop on the table and I'm recording this conversation now. And sooner or later, that'll just be normal.
Yeah. Now, what question would I have to ask you for you to Rickroll me?
I was wondering where to go to that. Yes, yes. The main purpose of the internet is to Rickroll people.
And just describe what that is, because the song plays when, under a certain set of circumstances, when you're doing a search online, you'll get flicked on to a videotape of Rick Astley, who has earned one of those unfortunate reputations as this being some sort of punishment, listening to his music being a punishment.
Look, it's cheesy 80s white boy soul by Stock Aitken and Waterman. It was a hit in its day, but, you know, it's disposable pop. Look, one of the things about the internet is that people can connect very quickly and spread jokes very quickly. I mean, anything involved with the internet, it can be news of an earthquake will spread globally in 6 minutes, or some stupid joke will spread globally in 6 minutes. And so when people are talking, you say, hey, look at this, and everyone will click on a link and click through. So this joke was, instead of saying, hey, here's the video of President Obama's latest speech or whatever it might be, it's instead Rick Astley singing this stupid song. I don't know why we picked this particular song. It's just lost in the history of time. The amazing thing is, though, it's caused everyone like you did just then to play it on the radio, and Rick Astley's now getting all the royalty payments again for this song, just as a silly thing. But and to give you an idea of the joke, I just said before coming to the studio this afternoon, all right, what should I tell people about social media and social networking this afternoon? And I just got told, well, if you can say the purpose of the internet is to Rickroll people, I'll buy you a case of beer. So done. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Now, I just want to talk briefly about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We can't cover the subject in much detail, but what is it that attracts you about Twitter? And you were defending it against a critic today, in fact, a post last night in regard to this airline upgrading story. One of the airlines sent out an email by mistake, and mistakes happen.
To more than a million people.
And that was the point of your article. Look, they're humans, they make mistakes, get over it.
Mm.
But someone having a view of this criticised tweeting on Twitter. And yes. Your observation was?
Twitter, for those that don't know it, very quickly, it's a way of sending brief messages instantly through your circle of, quote, friends, unquote, on the internet. Limited to 140 characters, so you can send them by SMS and receive them by SMS and a whole lot of things. Someone said something along the lines of, Twitter is just for twits. And my response to that was simple. It's, no, you're confusing the communication mechanism with the conversation. You know, it's a bit like, you're saying the telephone is stupid because people say stupid things on the phone. And you hear them, they're on their mobile, the first thing they say is, oh, hi, where are you? What's going on? Some stupid joke. This is just humans staying in touch with each other, and that's how we say who our friends are, because who we decide to stay in touch with. And Twitter is interesting because it is changing all of this gossip, all of this, you know, what we might say at the water cooler or over a beer at the pub, into something which is online and searchable. And it comes back to this point. It's all these things which normally would be disposable speech are now published on the internet forever. And so all the critics are saying, or some of the critics, the dumb critics, in my opinion, they're saying, oh, it's stupid. People are just talking stupid rubbish. Well, my answer to that is, yeah, that's just because people talk stupid rubbish. And now you're seeing it.
Yeah. So will it become a, well, I'm not going to describe it in a way that's offensive, but it's useful for news reporting. You know, people at scenes of accidents have made news companies aware, for example, of the nature of a disaster first using Twitter.
Yes, and the big example is when that US Airlines jet crashed in the Hudson River in New York. The first photographs and first news of that was sent out through the networks. The earthquakes in China last year, news of that spread, and people in China got a feeling for how widespread the problem was by talking amongst themselves. I think one of the best examples of this is the dust storms that hit New South Wales back in September, the 22nd and 23rd of September. Now, people woke up on the morning and looked out and the sky was red throughout Sydney, Newcastle, I mean, further inland as well. Now, What happened is they immediately start talking to themselves, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's through Facebook status messages or whatever. And they're saying, hey, the sky's orange. Is it for you? Yes, it is. What about you? Hey, look, here's a photograph from my backyard. Wow, well, here's a photograph from our place. And very soon, all of these people are getting a view for how big the dust storm is, what it looks like. And the interesting thing from a media perspective is they've done that without a broadcaster, without a journalist. They've just done it by sharing information themselves.
And, of course, we don't support that idea. Stilgarian, do we? That's a very, very bad idea.
Well, I don't know. I've been listening to your managing director, Mr. Mark Scott, and he seems to think it's the way of the future.
No, it's definitely the way of the future.
Exactly. And the role of an organisation or a media organisation is to help, okay, well, here is this random form. How do we now do this for posterity? How do we add value to just what people are doing for themselves or provide background or whatever it might be?
Look, as far as ABC Open is concerned, it's going to be an enormously valuable tool for small regional and remote communities. The whole concept of people who are enthusiastic and passionate about a particular subject and can tell a story in a way that's interesting and engaging for people who share the same interests, whether it's, you know, you've gone to the football club AGM and you want to compile a little report about it. The opportunities are going to be endless.
Look, this is it. And you don't need, and everyone who works in local media is going to scream as I say this, but you no longer need the local journalist to tell you who won the under-15s match on the weekend and what the score was, because all of the parents of those kids are all there with mobile phones, with cameras in them, connected to the internet eventually, and they'll just spread the news amongst themselves.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating world ahead of us. Look, thanks for at least whetting our appetite a little bit on that subject. Can I put the hard word on you and get you back? Is that possible?
Anytime, mate. Anytime, Paul.
And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, ABC New South Wales is our Twitter name. We've just posted the fact that Stilgarian was a guest this afternoon. So if you'd like to keep up with us, follow us on Twitter. And Stilgarian is on Twitter, of course, as well.
I'm one of the most prolific users of it in the country, which is a bit scary.
Yeah, and you'll be posting something, I'm sure, about your afternoon.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'll say very nice things, Paul, I promise.
Cheers. Nice to see you, mate.
No worries.
Stilgarian joining us on ABC New South Wales, talking social networking. So I hope that has you a little bit further down the track, as far as understanding some of the new media is concerned. 23 to 5.